Okay, Priya, part two of the whatever it is, Iskon analysis. Okay, so I will here ask the question, how did it become the way it is? And first, I want to really try to convince you well, first of all, that I'm not, or that I mean well, I come in peace, and and all I want to show is the vision of what the Krishna Conscious Movement should and could be. Now, what vision Srila Prabhupada had for this movement? I just saw a transcript of a conversation that he had with his godbrother Sridhar Swami back in, I think it was 77, where they were talking about, between themselves, about ISKCON, and Prabhupada said that he referred to an article from New York Times, whatever, about the Krishna Conscious Movement, saying that if this explosive expansion goes on of the Krishna Hare Krishna Movement, they will soon be in a government position. Now, to us now, that may sound, oh, but it was apparently written there in the New York Times or whatever it was, and Prabhupada cited, quoted that, referred to that article in his talks there with Sridhar Swami. And the two of them were actually talking about how the potential was there for Gaudiya Vaishnava, for the Gaudiya Vaishnava teachings to become the new you could say universal religion in the world. Now, again, I've heard read people, even old disciples, who call Prabhupada megalomaniac. But to me, this discussion, which was a very serious discussion between all two elderly Vaishnava sannyasis of high stature. And remember that these men were on a completely different platform than their young disciples. They had that vision, and that was the vision of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. They were not talking about converting people to some to yet another religion. But they were talking about the how, when they were talking about the Gaudiya Vaishnavism, they were really, it was really about, the way I understand it, what made me attracted to Prabhupada's teachings in the first place, that here you find a solid spiritual science that was non-sectarian, that can answer the questions, that can actually establish the foundation for a culture, civilization on Earth today. That works, that establishes Dharma, Sanatana Dharma. Now, when I read their discussion, I was almost shocked. This is what these men were actually working on. And they were discussing, and Prabhupada also discussed it with Narayan Maharaj. Another one of his friends. That the big problem was that now, when Prabhupada was about to leave this world, that his disciples were far from qualified. To take over and carry on such a mission. But when I read it and try to see this from their perspective, and from the vision that Prabhupada had is conveying through its teachings. I agree with them that their vision is actually possible. It's realistic. Now it may seem like yet another dream by some religious leader that his little sect would dominate the world. But you know, these men belong to the spiritual intelligentsia, especially Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, of course, who was the a prominent figure. In West Bengal, in his time, and West Bengal, Calcutta, was a respectable intellectual metropole in India back then. So you may say there are other forms of Vaishnavism. Gaudiya Vaishnavism is a small one. And yes, of course. But those men also had the vision that this is not a sectarian thing, but that all the Vaishnava Sampradayas would one day come together and work together. So this is, I guess, the Indian style, and maybe the Asian style, that there may be groups and sects that sometimes, just like in the West, compete with and even fight with each other. But there are, is also the other side, especially among those more sattvic, like the Vaishnavas, where you can see unity and diversion, what you also call diversity. In any case, what I wanted to bring up this was that this was the vision that Prabhupada had. And then we may ask, how well has his disciples and grand disciples carried on towards that, realizing that vision? I know some would even want to describe that mission, that vision, laugh at it as a joke. Maybe even calling those men unrealistic dreamers. Or they were just quietly ignore it, yet at the same time calling themselves followers of Prabhupada, saying Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. Whatever Prabhupada they mean. And I say this is because, after these years, the status quo of ISKCON, as it turned out to be, has become the standard. This is, of course, how we tend to be with humans. We get used to something and start seeing it as normal. Now I will here challenge that. And if you call my vision, the vision I will convey here, dreamy and romantic and unrealistic, then remember it's not mine, it's the vision of Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and Sridhar Swami, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So, because I think it's important to paint that vision clearly, what this movement, what the potential is of this Krishna conscious movement, what it was meant to be, and what it can be. Because the philosophical foundation is solid. It stands upon finest culture of India. And it's backed up by it. It's not a little cult from the countryside in West Bengal. And by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, one should be convinced about that. So the reason I'm speaking this is that I see it as my duty and want to reach out to others who see it the same. To understand that mission and keep mission and vision and keep it in mind. And whatever is the status of this movement today, try to bring it to where it is supposed to be. And I even say that the writings are on the wall. Either we do that, and we really do that, showing some practical results, or this or the next crisis might see this movement go down at most into a useless, another religious old structure with some buildings and leaders, but not many followers. So, well, let's see.